Colossians chapter 3, we're going to be looking at verses 16 and 17 tonight. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Before we actually look into the Word, let me just tell you a little story. While honeybees are busy collecting nectar, their flapping wings create static electricity. And that static electricity draws pollen to stick to their body. And then the bees take their legs and they scrape the pollen off of their body and push it into their back legs where they have a pocket called a pollen basket. And they collect that pollen in their back leg pockets. And the more flowers they visit, the more pollen they get in their baskets. And you know, that same principle is true when it comes to our Bible study and our learning. Christians learn from the Bible in a similar way. The more we spend time in the Bible, the more we're going to gain from it. That's just a pretty basic principle. But the more time you spend in the Bible, the more you're going to gain from it. If you only spend a few minutes a week in the Bible, you're only going to gain a tiny little bit. But if you spend a lot of time in the Bible, you're going to gain a lot more. And so that's an important truth for us to think of. Now, in our passage here tonight, in Colossians chapter 3, beginning of verse 16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." As we look at this section here tonight, we've been working our way through the book of Colossians, and Paul is building up and he's teaching us and he's preparing us now for something that is very, very important. And here in this section, he talks about the Word of Christ. And a very important aspect of that, he said we're to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. Now, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to look at, first of all, the subject, and then we're going to look at the command, and thirdly, we're going to look at the resulting participles. All right? It'll come easy when we get going on. What is the subject of the verse? All right, the subject of the verse is the Word of Christ. He starts out there and he says, "Let the Word of Christ." Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. What is the Word of Christ? Well, quite obviously, the Word of Christ would be the words that came from Christ, but probably more than just the words that He said. It would certainly include all that He said, but it would probably refer to more than that. Probably refer to the doctrines of Christ, the doctrines that deal with salvation, the doctrines of Christian living, and certainly much of the New Testament is related to the doctrines of Christ. But because Jesus Christ is God and He is the author of the Bible, then we could certainly say that the Bible are the words of Christ. The Bible as a whole is the words of Christ. And so he says here that the words of Christ, he's addressing the words of Christ to us. And so this broader sense would encompass the whole Bible. And the Bible is our manual. The Bible is our manual for life. Most of you know that recently Mel and I purchased a secondhand car. And it's newer than our old car. It's got all kinds of stuff on it that our old car didn't have. So I've been reading the manual. Get the old Toyota manual out there and reading. All right, what's these buttons do? All right, that one does that. That one, all right. So you read through that. And you have to read it. If you're like got a mind like mine, you got to read it 2 or 3 times before it kind of sticks. And then if I don't use that button, I'll find in another month or so, I'll say, what was that button for? Get the manual out again. Review again. All right? And that's because we need to review over it. Now, the Bible is like our manual. The Bible is there to teach us and instruct us on the way to live. And what we need to do is you need to read a section until you understand it and can absorb it and can apply it to your life. And when you have it so that you can understand it and you're working at applying it to your life, move on to something else and then work at another section and digest the manual that God has given to us. And some people think, well, you know, the Bible's like, you know, any other book. I read the thing once, why do I need to read it again? Well, the reason we need to read it again is many reasons. Not one of them is because we don't remember everything we read. Another reason is because this is God's book, not our book, and there's a lot more in it than just what we see on the surface. There's a lot of principles you can get from the Scripture by reading it and thinking about it and think of how it can apply and what does it mean and how can it help me and what can it do for this situation and that situation. So reading the Bible many times is very helpful. And the Bible then becomes our manual, and it is a lifelong task to read it and study it. It doesn't just happen in a week. It doesn't happen in a month. It doesn't happen in a year. And so we need to spend time reading the Bible. Now, the Word of Christ that he speaks of here is actually a parallel. There's a parallel to this in the Ephesians chapter 5. What I'd like you to do tonight, if you to take and stick your pencil or a paper or something in this section and then flip over to Ephesians chapter 5. But I've written it up on the board here, most of it. So if you can't see it as we're looking at it here on the paper, that can be of help to you. And I want to show you the parallel between these two passages. All right? Ephesians chapter 5, and beginning with verses 18 and on down through verse 20. These two sections are parallel. All right? Ephesians chapter 5 and Colossians 3:16. All right? Here in Colossians 3:16, you can look up on my chart here, and if you can't read it, then use your Bible. But I wrote it out. It's a little small. Okay? So, up here, we find, first of all, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "Be not drunk with wine or in his excess, but be filled with the Spirit." In Colossians, we read, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Now, those two don't look like parallels right now, but as we work our way through, we're going to see that, oh, there's an awful lot of things that match up here. Secondly, we see in Colossians, it says, "In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another." In Ephesians, it says, "Speaking to yourselves." Now, let me just show you this. The word "yourselves," let me just get my marker here and it'll help. The word "yourselves" is the exact same word as "one another" in the Greek. Exact same word. Identical. Just translated differently. All right? So he says here in all wisdom, we're to teach and admonishing yourselves or one another. Here he's saying speaking to yourselves or one another. All right? He's talking about the congregation. It's plural. And so he's talking to the congregation that are to speak to themselves. We're to teach each other what we have learned, in this case from the Spirit, in this case from the Word of God. All right? Now, then we go on and he says, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs singing. In Ephesians it says, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs singing. Exactly the same. All right? So there's a parallel there. Then the next verse he goes on, and in Colossians, he says there, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." There's the giving thanks. And in Ephesians, it says that we're to give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So these two passages are parallel. They're talking about the same thing, but using a little bit different wording. Now, what does this teach us? When you see parallel passages like that, that are so obviously parallel, we look at that and we see something is unique about this. What it is teaching us is that letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly is parallel to being filled with the Spirit. Those two things go together. You cannot be filled with the Spirit without letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And you can't. If you let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, you'll be able to be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God will be able to fill you and use you. And so the two of them are going hand in hand. And so this is very important for us to see that and see how that it works there. And we see the parallels here. And when I wrote it down here, I actually skipped out a section of the verse, and I didn't mean to do that. Colossians says, "With grace in your hearts to the Lord." And in Ephesians, it says, "Making melody in your heart to the Lord." All right? I didn't mean to skip that. When I was writing it out, I got in a hurry. Okay? So, there's parallels all the way through here. Now, this strongly implies that being filled with the Spirit has to do with the Word of God. Now, folks, listen, we want to be filled with the Spirit because we know that the Spirit of God, if He's controlling our lives, we will have His ability to have victory over sin, to be more of a powerful witness for Christ. We will be able to be the kind of a Christian that God wants us to be. But what that's showing us is that we've got to spend time in the Word of God if we're going to be able to do that. You cannot ignore the Bible and hope to be filled with the Spirit. It won't work. And if you spend time in the Bible and quality time in the Bible, you're going to open the door for the Spirit of God to be able to fill you. And so we need to spend time in the Bible. It is very, very important. And so we see, first of all, the subject. Now let's look at the command. What is he actually commanding us to do here? He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in you richly. Now this is an imperative. It's a command. God's saying, I command you to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now the word dwell, it means to inhabit. It means to take up residence. It's not something where you're just paying a visit. It's not a campsite where you just went once in a while and stayed for a couple days. It's a place where you stay. You set up home. You make your residence there. And he says we're to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. When a person comes to Australia from another country, they're only a visitor until they are able to gain permanent residency. Permanent residency then allows them to stay permanently. Until that time, they're only a visitor. And so there's a difference between dwelling and visiting. And you know, sometimes we treat the Bible like a visitor. We visit the Bible once in a while, dust it off on Sunday, bring it to church, and read it a little bit at church on Sunday. That's only visiting the Bible once in a while. But to let the Word of Christ dwell in you, that means you're going to have to spend time in it every day, reading it, meditating on it. What is the difference between reading and meditating? You know, that's something we don't often talk about, but it's very, 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 very important. You can read something and not meditate on it at all. You can read it and say, yeah, I read that. Like all the silly things, well, I shouldn't call them silly. They're not really silly, but you know when you got to read all these contracts before you go onto a website or before you fill out this thing, you got to read all that. Say, I've read all these 29 pages of boring stuff that doesn't mean anything to me, but I've read it. All right, that stuff we just kind of read it to say I did it, but it doesn't really mean anything to us. But to meditate on something is to read it and say, what did that mean? How can that help me? What does that say? Wow, I need to do that. This is good. This will help me. We underline in our Bible. We write notes in the side. We look up words. We think, what did that word mean? We look it up and, oh yeah, I'll circle that word, put an arrow over here, write a little definition over here so I don't forget that. We study it, we meditate on it, we think about it, and we apply it to our life. That is a whole lot different than just reading it. And we need to let the Word of Christ dwell in us. Let it be part of our life. And let it be part of us. We need to dwell in Christ and let His Word dwell in us instead of just doing it once in a while. And we must read it daily in order to do this and have the meditating upon it. You know, ask yourself those questions. What did God say in this passage? How does it apply to my life? How can I change? What do I need to work on? What will help me from this verse? And you know, as I've emphasized again and again and again, if you will write down one principle from something you read each day, it will change your life. It really will. I thanked Melody a couple of days ago. One of the reasons that I preach a lot of principles in my preaching is because several years ago, Melody challenged me. She said, you know, you need to just find a principle in your reading. Don't just read it. Because I was reading the Bible, I was highlighting things, and you know, I'd mark things that looked neat, but I wasn't really focusing on any one particular thing. And once she convinced me that I needed to do that, and I started writing down a principle each day, then I look for something. What can I find in what I read today that I can write down one principle? This is what I need to work on for today. And you write that down. And if you're like me, you won't remember it all day, maybe, but it can be a help to you. And if you write it down, you can look it back up again and see, oh yeah, that's what I studied yesterday. That was good. That helped me. And we can gain from that. But it is dwelling in the Word of God. It is dwelling in it. We need to spend time in it. And notice he says there that we're to dwell in it richly. Richly. The word richly means abundantly. It means to overflow. When a dam is full, it has an overflow. And the water is so full in the dam that it can't, they're afraid it'll break if they let it get any higher, and the water runs out the overflow. And that's what he's talking about here. When the Word of Christ dwells in us richly, we're so full of what God wants us to learn that it starts to run over the sides. We start to run over. And that's when he tells us what happens when it runs over is the rest of the verse. When you let the Word of Christ dwell in you so that it is running over in your heart, it will affect the rest of the way you live. And he emphasizes that in the rest of the verse, and we'll see that in just a moment. And so, he says here that we're to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. Then, the resulting participles. Now, you can't see this in the English, but there are four participles in this verse. Now, what's a participle? Well, we won't get into a grammar lesson, but just let me say this. There's the command, and then there's four things that the command results in. All right, the results of the command. All right, number one, he says, teaching. All right, teaching. Now, the little phrase there, in all wisdom. If you were to study this up, look it up in commentaries, you would find that about half of the commentary men will say that in all wisdom fits with dwelling in Christ. The other half would say, no, it fits with the teaching. Well, you just have to decide for yourself. I really believe that it probably fits better with the teaching, and I'll explain to a little bit why, but if you decide the other way, it doesn't really matter. So, he says here that we're to teach, and if it fits with the teaching, it's in all areas of wisdom we need to be teaching. In every area of wisdom. Now, what is wisdom? Wisdom is a God-given ability to make right choices. The God-given ability to make right choices. That's wisdom. And in every area of life, we need wisdom. We need wisdom on how we act and what we say and where we go and what we do and the things we think about, the things that we eat and the places we... Everything, we need wisdom. And so in every area of wisdom, we need to be teaching others. And as we're overflowing with the Word of God, when it dwells in us until it's running over, we will be running over with teaching to other people. We will share what we've learned. You know, that is something we're not very good at. We'll get together and we'll talk about the weather. We'll talk about, you know, the family. We'll talk about the dog. We'll talk about anything. But we very seldom talk about what we learned in our Bible reading. We should. That's what we really need to be talking about. But you know, one of the reasons we don't, well, there's probably two reasons. One would be that we just don't read, and so we don't have anything to share. The other reason is we may feel like, well, I don't want them to think that I'm just, you know, I'm trying to preach at them. Well, God tells us we're supposed to share with others what we have learned. And so he says here that let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, and as you do that, you will be teaching in all wisdom. You'll teach others what you've learned. You're going to share that with other people. And so God wants us to teach or to give instructions to others. You know, as I thought back over this, the best teachers that I have had over the years, in my years of education, went to high school, and then I had 4 years of Bible college, and then I had another master's degree that I worked on. And all of my teachers, the best teachers were the teachers that knew their subject well and loved their subject and lived it. And when you stood up there and listened to them, it just kind of flowed out of them. And you just couldn't wait to write down the next thing because it just was part of them. They loved their subject. They loved what they were talking about. They knew it well, and they were explaining it. And you felt like you were right there with them. And you know, that's what God wants us to do. He says, if the Word of Christ is dwelling in you richly, as a dad, it ought to dwell in you richly so that you're helping your wife and in your family to come to know Christ better. As a wife, you ought to be dwelling in Christ so that it's overflowing and you can pour that out into your children's lives. And as young people, you ought to be overflowing in the Word of God that you're learning so that you can share it with those around you and your friends and things of that nature. But it ought to be flowing, overflowing in us so that we're teaching others and we're helping them to come to know what we've learned. But then he goes on and he says, teaching and, what's that other word? What's the other word? Teaching and admonishing. Admonishing. What does it mean to admonish? Well, admonishing means to warn. To warn. It can mean to exhort, but the main idea is to warn. And so he says we need to teach people, but we also need to warn them. And you know, that is something we don't like to do. And I mentioned that this morning. We don't like to warn people of danger. We don't like to say, be careful, don't go that way, it's going to hurt you. The last few days I've been pondering some things like this, and I may you know, if the Lord gives me peace about it, develop some sort of a message to help our young people to see that the way they dress and the way they act and the things that they do, they've got to be very careful. Not because we're trying to be a stranglehold around them and say, don't do that because we said so, because we got to be narrow. That's not the point. The point is that we can see that going that route, what's going to happen? You're going to attract the wrong kind of friends. You're going to attract the wrong kind of situations. You're going to get yourself into stuff you don't want to. And all of a sudden, your life is going to blow up in your face. And you're going to say, what happened? It's because we didn't warn them. We need to warn our young people. And so, the admonishing, warning one another. So as you're reading the Bible and it's flowing over in your heart and you're growing closer to the Lord and you're drawing, and you see someone else that is going in a direction that you think, that is not good. Boy, they shouldn't be doing that. Instead of just ignoring it, go lovingly talk to them and say, hey, listen to what I just read in the Bible. Look at this verse. This can be a help to you. Be careful. Don't go that way. That's not going to be good. That's not going to help you. And so we need to help each other. And when someone comes to us and warns us, what's our response? Someone comes to you and says, you know, the way that you're acting is not good. If you continue to do that, you're going to get yourself in trouble. There's two ways we can respond. One way, we can say, oh, I'm sorry. You're right. The other way is, what? Don't talk to me like that. You're not my boss. I don't have to listen to you. Leave me alone. And a lot of times that's the way we respond. But when we bristle, when God, someone tells us what God says, we are not being wise. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 1 says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. When someone tries to help you and you say, I don't agree. I don't like that. Don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that. He says, those that harden their neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. It's a dead-end street. Young people, be careful. Listen to advice. Don't get upset. Don't get mad at mom and dad when they tell you what to do. But follow the advice because it'll help you. So he says the first participle was teaching. The second participle was admonishing. The third participle is singing. Singing. As you look up here, all right, so we got speaking. Oops, sorry, let's go over here. All right, we had teaching. Got the wrong one. Teaching and admonishing. And then there's singing. All right, and we had the singing over here as well. And speaking was the participle in Ephesians. Okay, so speaking paralleled with the teaching and admonishing. All right? Using our mouth to teach others. Then he goes on in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing. You know, I always used to think that the teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I was thinking that this is the way that we're supposed to do this. I'm not so sure that's what the verse is saying. I think the verse certainly implies that we would teach through our songs, and our songs ought to teach good things. But I don't think that's necessarily what he's emphasizing. He's saying that if the Word of Christ is overflowing in our life, we're going to be teaching and admonishing. We're going to be speaking to others if the Spirit of God is filling us. But another thing that's going to happen is in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we're going to be singing. We're going to be singing. Now, as we think about this, singing. The word singing literally means giving praise to God in song. It's giving praise to God in song. We're to be singing. Now, we're to do this in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Psalms are scripture songs. Psalms are scripture songs. Hymns are songs of praise to God. And spiritual songs are songs that strengthen us spiritually or honor the Holy Spirit. Now, the reason we use the hymn book that we do is because it contains all three. There's scripture songs. There's songs that are hymns that are just praise to God. There's songs in here that are spiritual songs that will build you up spiritually and strengthen you and help you. And so that's why we use that. Many of the modern day worship, contemporary worship music songs that many churches dance to are shallow. They don't have the same emphasis on doctrine and on the Word of God strengthening and building and encouraging. They're more about me and my experience and what I think of this and what I think of that. Those kind of things. That's not nearly as helpful as the good songs that teach us from the Word. So God says here that if we're overflowing in the Word of God and we're filled with the Spirit, we're going to naturally want to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing ought to be part of our life. If you say, I just can't stand singing. Well, maybe I'm not asking whether you can sing good. That's not the point. All right? You don't have to sing good to be able to sing. All right? Even if you can't sing at all and you sing like a frog, that's fine, as long as you like to sing. But if you say, I can't stand singing, I don't like singing, something's wrong spiritually, because God says it's a natural overflow when we're filled with the Spirit, when we're full of the Word of God, naturally we're going to want to sing. And God puts that song in our heart. We ought to want to sing. And godly music is an important part in our Christian homes. When the Word of Christ dwells in us richly, it ought to flow out of us. And you can listen to good, godly Christian music in your home through the internet, abidingradio.com, 24 hours a day. You can listen for free to good, godly music. It's your choice. And music is good for us. It's good for us to be singing and humming and even if you don't remember all the words, you can kind of hum the song. Those kind of things are good for us. And it helps us. And it also shows that the Word of Christ and the Holy Spirit is overflowing in our life, running over in our hearts. But then the fourth participle is giving thanks. Giving thanks. Down in verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So he prefaces this and preps this participle with this phrase, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So he's saying that everything we do, whether it's in word or in deed, what's the difference between word and deed? Well, the word is the things we say, that what comes out of my mouth, and deeds is the things I do, the things that I am involved in, the activities that I do. So he says it doesn't matter what it is, whatever you do with your mouth, whatever you do with your activities, he says that we're to do all to the glory of God. We're to do all to, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Ephesians says to the glory of God. And so we're to do it in the name of the Lord. Now, if we're representing Jesus Christ, and we are if we know Christ our Savior, people that know you, if they know that you claim to be a Christian, you are representing Jesus. And so the way you talk is representing Jesus. The way that you act is representing Jesus. And he says, in all that we do, we're to represent him in a way that would bring honor to him. We're to honor the name of the Lord. He says, we're to do this, and in doing so, we are giving thanks or gratefulness to God. See, when God says, do it this way, and we do it that way, we're showing gratefulness to God. You parents can understand this. All right, when you tell your children to clean their room, you say, go to your room, clean your room. And you come back an hour later, and they cleaned their room nicely. That is showing gratitude to you. It is showing appreciation to you. They're showing respect to you because they did what you asked them to do. But if you come back an hour later and the room's still a mess and they haven't touched it, then they're showing ingratitude. They're not showing respect. All right? And so God's saying here, in all that we do and all that we say, we are to do it in a way that brings honor to the name of the Lord Jesus. And in doing so, we will be giving thanks to God and the Father. And so we're to act not only just in our actions, but with our words, we're to thank Him. You know, it does us good to thank God for what He's done for us. God has been so good to us. Love that song we sang this morning, number 40. Great is Thy faithfulness. That wonderful song. It's got so much meat in it, so much truth in it of all that God has done for us. But we need to focus on that. Think about what God has done for us and be thankful for what God has done for us. You know, every one of us appreciates receiving thanks. Isn't that encouraging? If somebody comes to you and says, thank you, I appreciate that. Maybe it's a thank you for something you did for them. Maybe it's a thank you for a note you wrote to them. Maybe you were just an encouragement to them and they said, thank you. That was an encouragement to you. Just hearing them say thank you is a big encouragement. It really is. And as a pastor, I understand that as well. When someone says, Pastor, that was a mess. That message was a blessing in my heart. That encourages my soul. We need to encourage each other. But you know, God wants us to be grateful to Him for all that He's done for us. Ron Hamilton, in one of his children's songs, he uses the phrase, we need to have a gratitude attitude. And you know, that attitude of gratitude is something we need to have as Christians. We ought to have an attitude of gratitude where we're constantly thankful for what God has done for us and showing our appreciation to Him. We sing that chorus, after all He's done for me, after all He's done for me, how can I do less than give Him my best and live for Him completely, after all He's done for me. It's another way of showing appreciation to God for what He has done for us. And so we need to be showing thankfulness to God and taking time each day. You know, one of the things that I try to do virtually every morning, in fact, there wouldn't be very many mornings I forget, but as I start my walk out first thing in the morning, I try to spend some time thanking God for the things He's done for me. Lord, thank You for the rest through the night. Maybe I didn't sleep as good as I could have, but thank You for what I got. And thank You for the beautiful day. And thank You, Lord, for the health You've given. Thank You for the sunshine. Thank You for the birds that are singing. Thank You. Just think about the things around you. Thank God for what He's done. Thank Him for His creation. Thank Him for His salvation. Thank Him for saving your soul and giving you eternal life and a home in heaven. Thank God. And we need to be thankful to the Lord for what He has done. If you struggle to think of things to thank God for, go back and read some of the Psalms, like Psalm 100. Psalm 100 is, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise, be thankful unto Him, and bless His name, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, His truth endureth through all generations. I left one verse out there in the middle, verse number 3, but didn't leave it out on purpose, but I just skipped it. But go over that. It'll help you. There's other psalms that'll do the same thing. Psalm 23, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. Go over those kind of verses. It'll bring joy to your heart, thankfulness to your soul, and enable you to be thankful to God. And so, what have we learned here tonight? We've seen the parallel between these two passages. But our focus is on Colossians. That's where we're at in our studies as we're working through the book of Colossians. But as we see here tonight, we see here that the Word of Christ needs to dwell in us. Not just a little bit. It needs to be richly dwelling in us. It needs to be running over. It's like the dam that is overflowing. It's like the cup that you fill up too full and it runs over the side. It needs to be pouring out the sides of us. We need to let the Word of Christ be so rich in us that we're sharing it with others. We're teaching and admonishing one another in all ways, all areas of wisdom. And it causes us then to sing with joy in our heart. Singing the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs from our heart because we're so full of what Christ has done for us, and His Word is rich in us, and the Spirit of Christ is dwelling in us, filled us, and it runs over in our life, and it causes us to be thankful to God and to others, thankful for what God has done for us. So, the thing we need to focus our thoughts on here tonight is the question is, am I dwelling in the Word of Christ richly? Am I spending quality time in the Bible every day? Is it running over in my life? You know, your life may be full of struggles and problems, and you're having all kinds of issues where you're having a real hard time trying to be what God wants you to be. Are you spending time in the Word? Is it running over in your life? Is it being fulfilling what God said that it would do in your life? If you're not spending quality time in the Word, you're not going to get the blessing from it. You need that. We need the Word of Christ dwelling in us richly, in order for us to have the open the door for the Spirit of God to fill us and then to be able to fulfill the things that He said would happen if we do that. And so, I strongly encourage you, get in the Bible. Spend some quality time with the Lord every single day. Make it an absolute must priority. Some of you are like me, that I'd rather get up in the morning first thing. I mean, I'll get up first thing in the morning, spend my time with the Lord and have a sweet time in the morning. Some of you crawl out of bed so tired that you can't hardly stagger to the out the door in the morning. All right? I see people like that when I'm on my walk. You know, you can tell they're headed for work and they can't even hardly walk straight. And they're kind of rubbing their eyes and they look like they just crawled out of bed. All right? And some of you maybe are like that. Well, if that's the case, maybe the morning isn't the best time for you to read your Bible. Maybe you're going to have to read it later on. But what we need to do is find a time when you can say, this is my Bible time. Nothing's going to get in the way. This is my Bible time. I'm not going to put anything else in that spot. That's my Bible time. I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to let the Word of Christ dwell in me richly. I'm going to let it run over in my life. And then I'll be able to share it with others. I'm going to be able to sing it from my heart. I'm going to be able to be thankful because of what God has done for me. I need to see God in a real light, and I need to spend more time with Him. If you'll do that, I guarantee you, it'll make a big difference in your life. It'll be a help to you if you'll do that.